Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend and brother Rick Tyler isn't with us yet, but he will be back soon. I'm hoping within the next week or so he'll be back, and we'll be back to studying back and forth again like we normally do. I hope that my microphone is working well today because I was having some technical issues. I'm not sure if the sound quality is what it should be. I hope that it is. It looks like it is when I'm looking at the meters here, but I won't know until it's until we're done, I guess. I have no way of listening to it while I'm doing it here. I'm getting the okay. Yes, it seems like it's working all right. So I do want to take a moment to thank New Visions Radio, Ray Powers, for giving us the opportunity to broadcast here each and every week. It's really a blessing. I know I say it every week, but I really mean it. It's a privilege to be able to talk about the Bible here in public, to be able to talk to folks, to reach out to you folks, and we really appreciate your listenership. We know that we have many, many people that listen each and every week, and you can find us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. I am really looking forward to getting Rick back here in the studio. I think my friend Ed, our brother Ed Short, I think he's going to join us here before too long as well. It's just sometimes hard to get all of our schedules worked out. We do work secular jobs. I'm kind of semi-retired now, so I've been putting a lot more time into ministry. But we're really glad that you're tuned in here today. Now, I want to tell you that you can find us online at www.prophecyhope.com. You can tune in every week. We meet on the biblical Sabbath, which is the seventh day. We meet every Sabbath at 9:30 a.m. for Sabbath school, which is a Bible discussion back and forth. We do that live. There's no editing. It just takes place. It's just raw video. And we also have the worship service that's done live. That begins at 11 o'clock every Sabbath morning. If you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, we would love for you to pay us a visit. We're at 1743 West Beverly Street in the city of Stanton, Virginia. It's a small town of about 24,000 people or so, and we're just a humble little church there, and we just really try hard to do ministry and preach Bible truth. We are a non-denominational ministry, in case you were wondering. We do get that question from time to time. Some people affiliate us with other groups because we do worship on the Sabbath day. We come together for worship. Also, we meet every Wednesday night for a Bible study and prayer meeting, and you're welcome to come to that. We do not stream that live. But if you have any prayer requests or praises or something you would like to share, someone who needs prayer, if you need prayer, if you have something you want us to pray about, please send us your requests and we'll be glad to do that. And we do keep those things private if you ask us to do so. Now, you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. You can email Rick Tyler at rick@prophecyhope.com. So if you'd like to just drop us a line or send a Bible question or send in your prayer requests, please feel free to do so. We would love to hear from you. Now this week, once again, because I'm doing this sermon series, since Rick's not with us, I'm not going to answer any Bible questions at this time, but the mailbox is getting loaded up and we will start answering some of those questions as soon as Rick comes back. And I'm really looking forward to studying with him again. Now, Rick and I do get together, by the way. You know, we meet every week, like I said, and we get together and we study together and we have a nice time as a church group as well. Now, the other thing is, I know it's only springtime or not quite spring yet, but I want to invite you to the Bible prophecy series that we're going to have. You know, we've had that every year since the year 2012. It's pretty amazing. And we're going to have that this September, beginning September 28th through October the 3rd. You're welcome to come and visit. You can come and visit us right here in Stanton for that, or you can stream it on live. It'll be 7 p.m. every night, beginning September 28th in the year of 2020, and it'll go through October the 3rd. If you're listening to this and it's recorded, I apologize that you may have missed it. But if you did miss it, you can actually go to the website and you should be able to find a link there that'll take you right to that series after we've done it. Also, on our website, you will find a lot of sermons. There's nearly 300 sermons on the website, and I would invite you to go there and look around a little bit. You may find some interesting topics, maybe things you've never thought about that we've discussed as in our sermons. You will also find some newsletters there, and I've been writing some study guides here lately, and I hope to be posting those as well on the website so that you can go there and you can download a study guide and you can send it in, and we will send you the next one. If you'd like a hard copy, you can email us and I'll send you the hard copy of it at no charge. We also offer DVDs for those of you who maybe some of you don't have the ability to be able to watch a video, or you don't have the streaming capability, but we can give you any sermon that we've done on a DVD. So feel free to email us about those things as well. So today, the sermon that we're going to be listening to is entitled, "And on the Seventh Day," followed by an ellipsis. An ellipsis is the dot, dot, dot. I don't know if you knew that, but whenever there's a continuation of a sentence, you'll see a sentence and then dot, 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 meaning that there's more to it. So this sermon is entitled, "And on the Seventh Day," and it's continued. And it might be different from what you think. Now, a lot of people ask us about the Sabbath and what about it? What about the seventh day? What about the days of creation? Well, I think you will find this sermon that I gave pretty interesting, because we're really going to dig into the Hebrew language and what was said. And what had come up was someone had asked the question, why does every creative day, you'll notice that the Bible says there was evening and morning a first day, there was evening and morning a second day, but it doesn't say that about the seventh day. And the question was asked by someone who came to the Bible study, why is that the case? So what I did was I made a sermon out of it. It really made me think. I had to go back and figure out, why is that the case? And you will learn that, hopefully, in this sermon. We will answer that beyond the shadow of a doubt, and you will see why the Bible says what it says and how it affects us today. So before we start playing that sermon, we always pray, we always ask for God's direction. So let's have a word of prayer together, shall we, before we begin that sermon. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for life. Thank you for the gift of being able to open your word, the Bible, and have the freedoms in this country of the United States to be able to do so. Father, we ask that as many people as hear this information, that hear this program, that you will bless them, that they will be able to get a blessing from the sermon that they're about to hear. We ask for your Spirit to be with us in everything that we do. May we always try to do your will, Father. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friend, once again, this sermon is called, "And on the Seventh Day." I hope you enjoy the sermon, and right afterward we will close with a word of prayer and a few concluding remarks. So I just want to say, beginning this sermon, this was a question. There was a question that came up a good while back about the Sabbath, about the creative days, about in the Bible when it speaks of evening and morning, you'll notice in Genesis chapter 1, you'll find evening and morning a first day, and evening and morning a second day, and evening and morning a third day. And Rick and Ed and I were in a conversation with someone where this topic came up, and we had been talking in depth about the Sabbath day, the seventh day, the holy day, the day that God made holy, which is today. This is the Sabbath. And the question that came up was, why in the Bible does it not say there was evening and morning a seventh day? And coming from my background, not having been a Sabbath keeper all of my life and having to study and learn everything that I've learned about the Sabbath from God's Word, this bothered me a little bit. And I wanted to know, why is there not evening and morning a seventh day? Why did it not close that way like all of the other days? So we find that God did not command Adam and Eve to keep the first seventh day. That bothered me also. And I'm thinking, boy, I've spent all of these years studying this. Well, don't be afraid. Don't worry about what we're about to say. But I just want you to know that the things that I'm going to show you are coming straight from the Bible. And we're going to see what the Bible says. The answers are there. It's just that I never found them. And maybe some of you have. Maybe some of you already say, oh, I know the answer to that. But when the question was asked of me, and when we were meeting with this person, and they said, why was there no evening and morning of seventh day? And why did God not command Adam and Eve to keep that day right there in the Garden of Eden on that first seventh day? I hope you may understand what I'm saying. On the first Sabbath. Why were they not commanded that? And I didn't have an answer. And I don't like when somebody asks me a question about the Bible and I don't have an answer. I don't like that. So it started a study. It started me to really digging in. And the thing that I want you to understand about the creation account, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, you can open your Bibles there if you like and look, just kind of scan through it. The first thing I want you to understand is that God is the subject of the 6 days of creation found in Genesis. For example, more than 30 times in the first chapter alone of Genesis, we find expressions such as this on the screen. God created, God saw, God said, God made, God called, God blessed, God divided, and God set. This is what you find more than 30 times in Genesis chapter 1. So let's look at a few of these. Here we go. We'll just take a look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Right there on the PowerPoint, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now here's another one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 7. It says, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And then we look at Genesis 1, 17, and it says, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Talking about the sun and the moon. And then we find again in Genesis 1:22, it says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So over 30 times in this first chapter of Genesis, we are told that God did everything during these first 6 days. Man did nothing. Then at the end of Genesis chapter 1, we find this verse, Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now you'll find that after each day, God said it was good, but on the sixth day, he said it was very good. So the point to Genesis 1 is God is the central part of the creation account. God did everything. It tells us that over 30 times, God did this, God saw, God created, God set. Are you following me so far? This is very important that we understand these things in the context of Genesis chapter 1. Now, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 2. This was our scripture reading for the day. Corey read this for us. It says, thus, the heavens and the earth, this is Genesis 2, 1 through 3, and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So it seems that the writer of Genesis, Moses, who we understand wrote this, was inspired to make it clear that God did this. This was God's work. Everything in chapter 1, God did it. He's making it clear that God worked 6 days, and it was God who rested on the seventh day. That's the subject. And that's very clear to me when I read it. Now, the word rested that's used here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, I'm going to highlight it for you. It's used two times. And this word here for rested is Shabbat, the Hebrew word Shabbat. Take a look at this word. This word Shabbat does not refer to the manner in which God rested on the seventh day. But it's telling us that after the 6 days, God Shabbat, or ceased, his work. For example, if you look at the definition there, it says to desist, to cease, to stop. As an analogy, in the court of law, when the prosecution finishes presenting its case, they say, the prosecution rests. Right? It's not talking about what they're doing. They're not sitting in the break room drinking coffee and relaxing. What it's saying is, it's not talking about the quality of their rest. It's saying that the lawyers have finished presenting the case and they have ceased or stopped presenting the case. Does that make sense? That's what this word rested means when we look at it in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. So the word Shabbat, used twice in Genesis 2, 2 and 3, simply means that God ceased. God stopped creating on the sixth day. But it doesn't describe the manner of his rest on the seventh day. In other words, how he rested on the seventh day. The emphasis is that he ceased his work of creating after the sixth day. Does this make sense so far? In fact, from Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, we find the following. Here's what it says. The writer of Genesis 2, verse 3 is not stressing rest from work, but rather God's ceasing from his creative work since it was complete. So those words rested mean something different than sometimes we think when we look at the text. So the emphasis is that God ceased. God stopped creating. His creative work was suspended or had ended at that moment, at least for that time. And this text doesn't talk about the quality of rest on the seventh day. In fact, when the sixth day was finished, Genesis 1:31 tells us this. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. We touched on that just a moment ago. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What happened when God finished creating the world? God said, this is very good. And I want you to notice something else that happened on this seventh day. I believe this is referring to that if we look at it in its context. In Job chapter 38, God says to Job, Job 38, 4 through 7, he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? So we're talking about creation here, right? Okay? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? He's asking Job. Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? And then verse 7 is very interesting because he says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So this is saying that when God ceased his work at the foundations of the earth, that's what the context is, that the angels of heaven, that all of God's morning stars, these angels, sang together. They shouted for joy. One translation of the Bible says they applauded for the things that he had done. So again, what happened when God finished creating the world? We saw in Genesis 1:31 that God saw the creation was very good. And here in Job, we see that the heavenly host, the angels, celebrated. They shouted for joy. In other words, all of the heavenly hosts celebrated the work of creation on the seventh day. Now, I want you to notice as well that God doesn't need rest as we consider rest. We get tired. We get weary.
We get sleepy. Does God get weary or tired? Notice Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weak or weary? There is no searching of his understanding." You see, Jehovah God doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. So it must have been another kind of rest, as we saw from the Hebrew word used in Genesis verses, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, which was Shabbat. He ceased. It was a rest of reflection, a rest of contemplation of the wonderful work which he had done. And we have a clear revealing of this in the Bible itself. Notice Exodus chapter 31, verse 17. It says, "For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now, this is the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. He ceased. But this word refreshed is a Hebrew word, nafesh. Nafesh. Here's the definition. To breathe. To breathe passively. To be breathed upon. That is, to be refreshed. You know, I've said this before, because I had looked at this word before. I don't know if you remember in some of the other Sabbath sermons that I've given, God doesn't get tired, as we just read. So what did he do? He sighed. He sighed. It's like when you finish working in your garden. I've given this illustration. You just finished trimming the hedges. You just finished mulching the beds. And you've mowed your grass. And you stand back and you look at it and you reflect. And you say, "That looks nice. Look at the fruits of my labor. It's just wonderful." And that's what God did when he ceased. He took a deep breath. He sighed. He looked at the fruits of his labor. In fact, we were told, he said it was very good. Isn't that what we do when we're done with the yard? We look and we say, "Wow, that looks so nice." And it's a rewarding thing. And we also get another sense of the manner of God's rest on the seventh day when we look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. I want you to notice this. This is right within the heart of the Ten Commandments. He's giving the Sabbath commandment to the nation of Israel in stone. He's verbalizing it for them. This is before he puts it in stone. It says, "For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it." Now, if we look at this verse in the Hebrew, we find something very interesting. The word rested here in this verse is different than the word Shabbat in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The word rested here in this verse is the Hebrew word nuach. And this is the word that has the meaning of the experience of rest. This word nuach, here it is. It's to rest, to settle down, to withdraw, to give comfort, to be quiet, to cause or make to rest. This word nuach is referring to what happened after God Shabbat, after he ceased. He enjoyed the experience of rest. Just as the angels rejoiced in heaven over God's work of creation, God enjoyed the experience of rest as a quiet contemplation of what was done, enjoying the fruits of his labor, so to speak. And some may say, we celebrate the Sabbath. Have you ever said that? That's what the angels did. They celebrated the Sabbath. We enjoy or celebrate the joy of contemplating the work or withdrawing from our work, the things that we have done. Sometimes after I mow the yard on a Friday afternoon, and then the Sabbath comes, I'll sit out on my deck and I'll look at the yard and I look at what I did and I enjoy it. This is what Jehovah did in those Sabbath hours. We sit down, we withdraw, we enjoy that holy time. We sigh with gladness that the work week is done. Right? Especially when you work full time. So this brings up an important question. And here's the question. When was the Sabbath sanctified and blessed? When was it sanctified and blessed? Now, every Sabbath sermon that I have ever given, I've said something that I've learned during this study wasn't true. So I have to retract the things that I've said in every sermon that I've given about the Sabbath, about the seventh day. See, until I studied this topic, I was always under the impression that the seventh day of the Genesis account was sanctified and blessed when the day began, when the day started. But that's not true. As I studied, I came to realize that the seventh day wasn't sanctified in Genesis until the seventh day had ended. And that might be new to some of you. And this is really important, and it also explains why God did not command Adam and Eve to keep that first Sabbath in the garden. It gets very interesting when we look at these texts. So far, we have found that God kept the Sabbath. The heavenly host rejoiced with gladness on the Sabbath, which goes along with the Hebrew word nuach. God sighed. He experienced rest on that Sabbath. And this was the things that he experienced. He enjoyed it. He reflected. He contemplated. But Genesis doesn't say that Adam and Eve kept the first Sabbath. And this has to do with when God blessed and sanctified it. You see, God didn't bless the Sabbath day until it was over. And how do we know that? We find it right in the text. And I've missed this over and over and over again. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Once again, this was the Bible, the scripture reading today. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made." Did you catch it? When did he bless it? After he kept it. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work. So in it, he Shabbat, or ceased his work of creation, and the Sabbath was made holy because he rested from his work. So the day wasn't declared as holy until the day was over. The day was not blessed until the day was finished. God was giving an example to Adam and Eve, to all of humanity. That's what he was doing. Notice Genesis chapter 20, verse 11. It sounds this down right in the fourth commandment, and I've always missed it. It says, "For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it." It's beautiful. The question is being answered as we read the text. How many times have I read this? I'll bet you I have read this text 1,000 times. And I've given dozens of sermons and talked to people hundreds of times about the Sabbath and never caught this. But when somebody asked me a question that I couldn't answer from the Bible, I knew it's got to be in there somewhere. The answer's got to be there. And it's not just a direct, "here it is." But it is a direct, "here it is," when you read the text for what it really says. So take a look again. Therefore, Exodus 20, verse 11. What's another phrase or word for therefore? I put some synonyms down. Hence. Hence, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. Thus, Jehovah blessed the seventh day. In other words, he worked for 6 days, created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Hence, Jehovah blessed it and sanctified it. Therefore, thus, consequently, and so Jehovah blessed it. And as a result, he blessed it. Or for that reason, he blessed it. Does that make sense? And different translations use those words. So right within the text, we see that God made the seventh day holy when it was completed. Does that make sense? It's the presence of Jehovah God that makes something holy. And you say, well, why do you say that? I think we all believe that, but do I have biblical proof of that? If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, I want you to turn there. Exodus chapter 3, and I want to show you something. This was at the burning bush. Are we familiar with that account? So here Moses is there, and the angel of Jehovah appears to him in the flame of fire from the midst of this bush, and he looks, and he sees this bush burning, but the bush isn't being consumed. And then look at verse 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. It says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside the sea and see the great sight, why the bush does not burn. And in verse 4, it says, so when Jehovah saw that he turned aside, look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am, and here's what I want to point out to you. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Was that ground holy before the presence of Jehovah was there? What made it holy? The very presence of Jehovah. His presence made it holy. His presence on the Sabbath day is what makes it holy. I believe he's with us here. Now, as far as recognizing the Sabbath day was declared holy after God rested on it, we find that this helps us to understand why God did not command Adam and Eve to keep the Sabbath the first week. And you say, well, how's that so? Well, one way that he does this is Adam and Eve were created on which day? The sixth day. And it was very good, right? They were created on the sixth day. In order to keep the Sabbath in harmony with the fourth commandment, which says we labor six and we rest on the seventh, they were only a day old. Adam and Eve needed to work first. How could they have rested on the Sabbath if they hadn't worked for 6 days? So he set the pattern for them. They hadn't even lived for 6 days. So God wasn't asking them to keep the first Sabbath holy. He was showing them what to do. Then he declared it holy. Because it wasn't made holy until after he rested. He sets the example. Christ came to the earth to show us how to live. And that's what we should do. It wasn't holy until the day ended. Then he declared that day of the week, every week, as holy time for eternity. It was holy at the end of the day. God's presence made it holy. He gave them an example. He showed them how to Sabbath. He showed them how to rest. He showed them how to enjoy it. He wanted to be with them in that day. And that's what he did. Adam and Eve observed God's rest on the Sabbath day. So when we look at the creation week, I hope it's clear in your mind that this first week was God's week. We pointed to all of those things that it said God did. It's God who worked 6 days. It's God who rested the seventh day. He was showing us a pattern of how we are to treat every week of our lives. We work 6 days and we rest on the seventh day, the day that he declared holy, because he kept it and showed us how to do it. And when we look at the context of Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we find that the day did in fact begin and end, even though it doesn't say there was evening and morning, the seventh day. Notice it again. Let's take a look. It doesn't say those words, but did it begin and end? It says, thus the heavens and the earth and all of the host of them and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. I know we've read this, But it doesn't say evening and morning, but it's giving us, in the context, the evening and the morning. The day began, he rested on the day, and then in verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it or made it holy because in it he rested, past tense, from all his work which God had created and made. So on the seventh day, it tells us there was a beginning or evening. God rested on the seventh day, then he blessed it or sanctified it when the day ended. There was evening and morning, a seventh day in the context, even though it doesn't use those exact words. It's very clear to me. Sometimes the Bible tells us something and we can see what's there without it actually giving us the words. I'll give you an example. Maybe this isn't a good example, but it works in my mind. If I were to ask any one of you, where did Cain get his wife? Does the Bible tell us Cain got his wife from? No. But because of our Bible knowledge, because we've studied, because we know that all of humanity came from Adam and Eve, we automatically deduce and know from the Bible account that Cain obviously had to marry one of his relatives. Had to be. We're all related. We're all relatives. So it doesn't say there was evening and morning a seventh day, but it's very clear in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, there was evening and morning a seventh day. Now, regarding the seventh day, some, and my friend who we talked to, makes the assumption that that seventh day is a creative period of time or that it might still exist or that it's still going on. The church that I grew up in believes that the seventh day is still in progress. How can I draw that conclusion when I read this text that we're looking at here? You see, it's not consistent with the rest of the Bible. In fact, notice the following. John chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Jesus had just healed, a man who was paralyzed, and he says, pick up your bed and walk. And the Pharisees were all over him about that, and they says, well, look, he's breaking the Sabbath because he's telling that man to pick up his bed. And Jesus says, which is easier, for me to tell him to pick up his bed or rise, you've been healed? That's basically what he was saying. And this is, we'll pick up this account, here's what it says. It says, for this reason, in verse 16 of John chapter 5, did I have the right account there?
Yeah.
Did I not say it right?
Jesus said, which is easier, pick up your bed
or your sins are forgiven. That's right. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. That is what he said. Thank you very much. I knew something when I saw you lean over, I thought, she's talking during my sermon. she heard me say something that I didn't mean to say. Anyway. It says, John chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now I want to address a couple of things in this text, which I've addressed many times in the past. We see that, first of all, that since the creation account, God and Christ are not on a perpetual Sabbath, not doing anything, because he says here, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. But the other thing that I want to address is, it says here in verse 18, and this has been used to try to tell me that the Sabbath was no longer binding or to be kept by Christians, where it says in verse 18, if you look, it says, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath. Did Jesus break the Sabbath? No, he didn't. But it also says, but also said God was his Father, he said that, making himself equal with God. Well, first of all, Jesus never made himself anything, right? The Father begat the Son of God and gave him everything that he had. The Father had given him equality, according to Philippians chapter 2. So, number one, he did not break the Sabbath. And secondly, he did not make himself equal with God. This was the perception of the Jews. This was the idea, the false ideas they had in their mind. These were the accusations they were making toward Jesus. But this is not the case. That is not what happened. And it's very clear, again, when you read all of Scripture. But to say that God and Christ are on this perpetual Sabbath, it doesn't hold up to the rest of Scripture. Do they keep Sabbath? I believe they do. But remember, it's okay to do a good thing on the Sabbath. Jesus healed on that Sabbath. If my ox is in the ditch, I get it out on the Sabbath. Jesus pointed these things out. We petition God in prayer and ask Him to help us on Sabbath. Isn't that true? So He continues to work, even though He keeps the day holy. He showed Adam and Eve how to do that. God sustains all things, even on Sabbath. Notice what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past by the fathers to the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of whose glory? The Father's glory. And the express image of whose person? The Father's person. And upholding all things by the word of whose power? The Father's power. When He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So God sustains all things. He's not on this perpetual Sabbath, not paying any attention to what's going on, not caring about what happens, just taking time off. Did His creative work end on the sixth day? Yes. But doesn't the Bible tell us that He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth? So He may be done for creating as far as we know it for now, but He's going to recreate, isn't He? He continues to work. His power upholds all things. When Christ was in the tomb, God had to keep things going, right? The Father had to raise Christ. And even in the commandments themselves, we see that the Sabbath day had a beginning and an end at creation. Take a look again at Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read the whole commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to Jehovah your God. You shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days, in 6 days, Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, as a result, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it." So even in the fourth commandment, we see that seventh day had a beginning and an end. There was evening and morning, a seventh day. He sanctified it or made it holy, even here we see, when the day had ended on that first seventh day in the garden. It says He rested. It does not say He is resting or He continues to rest. It says He blessed it. It doesn't say He is blessing it. He blessed it. He sanctified it. He made it holy. Therefore, that day remains holy even today. So there are some people who will say, well, the Sabbath was the Sabbath of the Jews. I just want to touch on this because we're talking about the Sabbath. This is very important, I think, to me and to many people who might be listening to this sermon for the first time. Were Adam and Eve Jews? No. But God showed them how to keep the day holy. They were there. They observed it. The angels observed it. They saw it. They applauded when everything was done. They shouted for joy. They celebrated the Sabbath day with Jehovah. So Some people think that it was only valid until Jesus died. But if that's the case, how do I deal with a text like this? In Matthew chapter 24, we know, before I look at that, we know that in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is giving the account of what's going to take place. He's giving a prophecy. And even though I believe that it was pointing to not just 70 AD, but to the end of the world, let's just suppose, for the sake of the argument of those who like to make this argument, that it was just pointing to 70 AD. Was that after Jesus had lived his life on the earth and had been put to death and was resurrected and back in heaven? Yes, it was in 70 AD. So this was nearly 40 years after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And Jesus is looking forward at least 40 years in this prophecy. And I believe he's also looking forward to our day and beyond in this prophecy. But keep that in mind. He's pointing ahead after he had died and after he would have been resurrected. And he's saying these words. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Something many people never realized, that Jesus kept Sabbath even in his death. Even in his death. I want you to turn to John chapter 19. So we see in the text that we just read that Jesus was pointing to a future time after his death and resurrection. And he's saying, pray that your flight not occur on the Sabbath. Well, let's look at what happened during the time of Jesus' death. We look here at John chapter 19. We find that Jesus here, he's already been nailed to the cross. This is on the preparation day. Okay, the preparation day is the day that you get ready before the Sabbath. This was on a Friday. It was also Passover, which was reflecting back to the time that the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, when they take the blood of that lamb and they put it on the doorpost. So here in John chapter 19, something very interesting happens. Now, I just want to say, here we go. Let's start in verse 31. John 19:31. It says, therefore, because it was the preparation day, in other words, it was Friday, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. And then mine has in brackets, it says, for that Sabbath was a high day. Does anybody else have that? Mary, how does yours read there? Do you mind sharing what the NIV says? Verse 31. Mine has in brackets, for that Sabbath was a high day. What does the NIV say there? I should have looked. It says, therefore, because it was a special Sabbath. Okay. So let's read it again. Verse 31, it says, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So as we read through the account, we find that the legs were broken of the men on each side of Jesus. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. He had already died. And not a bone was broken, which fulfilled a prophecy about Jesus that not a bone would be broken. And it tells us that right in the context. But I want to focus specifically on John chapter 19, verse 31, because that parenthetical thought for that Sabbath was a high day. A lot of people think, well, that's because it was the death of Jesus. Yes. Okay. I'll give you that. But that's not what we're talking about. Some Bibles say it was a great Sabbath or a dual Sabbath. Keep in mind that any day that followed the Passover, if Passover came on a Tuesday, for example, just like your birthday falls on a different day pretty much every year for several years, if Passover was on a Tuesday, Wednesday would be a Sabbath. Not the Sabbath, but a Sabbath. And it's supposed to be a rest. So you have Passover on a Tuesday, you have Sabbath on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the seventh day, the Sabbath that God sanctified on the seventh day. What made this a high day or a special Sabbath or a dual Sabbath or a great Sabbath was the fact that not only was it the Passover Sabbath, but it was also the day which God declared holy in the Garden of Eden. His seventh day Sabbath. So this makes that a high day. So this is very interesting to me. This was not by chance that this was the day that Christ died. It was not by chance that he died on a Friday, on the preparation day, on the Passover day, which represented what happened in Israel, that the blood of that lamb that they put on their doorpost saved their lives, but the blood of this lamb not only saves our lives, but takes away the sin of the world. I can't help it. I get goosebumps when I think about this. It's that amazing to me. And when I look at this account and I see that Jesus died on that Friday afternoon, on that preparation day, he was dead for part of Friday. They came to prepare the spices, but they went home according to keeping the Sabbath. And what did they do? They returned to the tomb on Sunday morning when he was resurrected. He was already awake. He was already out of the tomb. God had already raised him. So he was dead for part of the preparation day, for the whole 24-hour Sabbath day, and for part of the first day of the week, when he was resurrected. So even in Christ's death, he kept the Sabbath, showing the importance of that day, a holy day. So we find that the Sabbath is not just a day of redemption, which is what that was, but it's also a day of, it's a creative ordinance. In other words, when God finished creating, what did he do? He rested on the seventh day. So we see that it's not just a creation ordinance, it's a redemption ordinance. When we rest on the Sabbath, we're being refreshed from the week. When Jesus was put to death and stayed in that tomb on the Sabbath and came out, he was raising us up, refreshing us from this sinful body, we could say. Couldn't we? So when I look at this and I read the creation account and I see that God worked for 6 days creating the world and he rested on the seventh day from his work of creating the world, and then we see that Jesus Christ rested on the seventh day from his work of saving the world, it makes the Sabbath that much more important to me. And I hope it does to you. The Sabbath existed before sin. The Sabbath was made holy in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were with God on that Sabbath. And then after that first week, the very next Sabbath came. And what do you think they did? They did exactly what they watched their Heavenly Father do. They rested. They contemplated. They spent time with Him like they did on the first Sabbath in the Garden of Eden. And this is an eternal thing. So many people think that it's been wiped away. We don't keep it anymore. But this is an eternal ordinance. Let's turn to Isaiah, our last scripture. Isaiah chapter 66. And I want you to see the context in which we're looking at this. Isaiah chapter 66. In the context of this, there's a lot of information here, but this is in the context of the new world. After all sin has been removed, after the devil has been destroyed, sin is no more at this point. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, it says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me." So does God have more work to do? He's going to recreate everything. "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I shall make shall remain before me, says Jehovah, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says Jehovah. and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. In other words, death will be wiped away forever. It's going to be gone. But we will be keeping Sabbath in the new world. When we go to heaven for the 1,000 years, we'll be keeping Sabbath once again with the Father. It's a beautiful thing. I hope this doesn't minimize anything about the Sabbath for you. I hope it solidifies it more. I know it did for me. It did bother me when I was asked, why wasn't there an evening and morning? All of these others have an evening and morning. And then the assumption was made that by that individual that, well, the Sabbath continues on. We're still in that Sabbath rest. But that's not what the Bible is saying. There was an evening and a morning to that first Sabbath day. And God sets the example for all of humanity. And He sent His Son as an example for all of humanity. When Jesus was on the earth, He kept the Sabbath. He said in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not just the Jews. It doesn't say the Sabbath was made for Jews. So I hope this helps you to understand. And it helped me because I always thought that the Sabbath was made holy at the beginning of the seventh day. But what made that time holy was that God was in that time with Adam and Eve, and then He declared it holy time and said, this is a blessed day. I'm sanctifying it. And this is what you shall do for eternity.
Well, friends, I hope you found that sermon informative and interesting. So we don't have time to speak a lot, so we do need to close with prayer. So let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your Sabbath day. We thank You for the rest that You give us. We thank You for Your Word, the Bible, and for being able to study it. We ask that Your Spirit will be with us until we come together again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, once again, until next time, I hope that we'll see you again next week. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.